8:15 p.m. West Pakistan time, 9:15 p.m. East Pakistan time. This is Radio Pakistan. The President, Mr. Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto, in Lahore this morning, addressed engineers. Here is a radio report of the event. The venue for the meeting of the President and the engineers was the Darbar Hall of the Punjab Governor's House. Apart from engineers, from the many fields of this vital discipline, the large and distinguished audience included central ministers and members-elect of the national and provincial assemblies. The proceedings began with a recitation from the Holy Quran. Then Sheikh Ahmad Hassan, Vice-Chancellor of the University of Engineering and Technology, on behalf of the Federation of the Engineering Associations, welcomed the President. We now bring you extracts from the recording of the address by the President, Mr. Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto.
My dear friends, I'm happy to be here this morning to meet you. I've heard with intent attention the speech of Mr. Ahmad Hassan. I've taken careful note of it, and I would like to tell you that I have every intention of maintaining a dialogue between us. It's essential that we do this. This is our first meeting, but I hope that we'll meet again in the future, and if not directly, through my ministers and advisors and governors who are in close touch with me. So you can be rest assured that your problems will be known to us. Your problems are already known to us. We have actually gone through a struggle. We have lived with the people. We have been with the people. We know the conditions of the country. Some of us come from the rural areas. We know the problems of irrigation, of water supply, of shortages of water, salinity and water logging. All these problems we have lived with, and we still continue to live with them. So we are not unmindful of the problems you are called upon to tackle. We are aware of your difficulties. We are aware of your problems. So I think in the future we can develop a harmonious understanding between ourselves. I want to achieve this understanding not only with engineers, but all talented persons, all creative persons, all persons with initiative and imagination, all persons dedicated to strengthening of Pakistan and of creating the new and great Pakistan which our people yearn for and for which our people sacrificed before partition and soon after partition. So whoever wants to make a contribution for creating this great objective would be welcome as our friend and collaborator in the common task. And here, again I repeat, engineers, doctors, architects, scientists are the people who will be in the vanguard of the struggle for creating... creating the Pakistan for which our people fought and for which our people have made sacrifices up to the present. And I believe they will have to continue to make more sacrifices in the future, because the days ahead of us are not easy ones. They're full of difficulties, full of problems. I don't want to refer to those now, because this is not the place where we can touch upon those issues. But you are aware of them as well, as educated, sensible, respectable, and responsible citizens of the country. You are aware of those problems. Some of them, perhaps if not all of them. But as time passes, you will see from experience that our problems haven't finished, they've only begun. But I hope that we have now set a framework and a direction, a proper framework, an egalitarian and a just framework, and a sense of direction based on a person's ability, on his talent, to make a contribution to society. I'm glad that you have been candid in your speech. I welcome frank discussions. There's no point of having meetings of this nature where we only say pleasant things. I don't want to hear pleasant things. I only want to hear unpleasant things. Because pleasant things you can take care of. If someone is happy, well, that's a source of satisfaction to us. We don't want to hear that someone is happy. All I want to hear is who's unhappy. Yeah. Who has a problem? So I'm glad you have been frank. Now, permit me also, without in any way casting any aspersions or of trying to be unpleasant, say a few things as well. Because, you know, there are two sides of the story. If there weren't two sides of the story, the problem wouldn't have dragged on and plagued us for all these years. In the first place, I don't have any particular attachment for the bureaucracy. I think throughout my election campaign and before that and after that in my political career, I have openly criticized the shortcomings of the bureaucracy. I've criticized the mentality of the bureaucracy. On coming, on taking over this office, among the first directives I've issued was to tell the bureaucracy to change its outlook, to go to the people, to get integrated with the people, not to sit in their offices and get buried by files alone, not to get attached to the secretariat, because from the secretariat's window, they will not be able to see the heart of the people, but to go to the people, be with them, stay with them, see their problems. These things happen in other countries. They happen in other independent countries, but we have still the colonial legacy. Unfortunately, what we have lost are the good things. What we have retained are the bad things. The standard of the bureaucracy of the British was a very high standard. The British bureaucracy attained very high standards, as you all know. And they, in those old days, in the pioneer days, went into remote and far-flung areas, did research on the in the deserts of Tharparkar, where even today, I think it's difficult for people to go, and went into the mountains, into far-flung areas, and they did research, they wrote treatises, papers, which are very valuable even to this day. And but those standards we have lost in the condemnation of the British colonial system. We have quietly thrown away the virtues and retained its defects. So that's why the other day when I was addressing the students in Lahore, I said, your grievance shouldn't be against the British language or the English language, it's an international language. Your grievances should be against the colonial mentality. Well, we retain the colonial system, we retain the colonial norms, we retain the colonial pattern, and then superficially, we only blame everything on the past. So the question here is that the standards of that bureaucracy have fallen badly, but the power and the privileges of the same bureaucracy have greatly enhanced and increased, with the result that there has been a terrible decomposition. And the bureaucracy has not been made accountable like other institutions. So the institution of bureaucracy has also suffered. I admit bureaucrats played politics, and that unfortunately they played bad politics. They were not even good politicians. I wish if they're indulged in politics, they should have been at least good politicians. But how can a bureaucrat be a good politician? It's a contradiction in terms. So the point is that I don't believe. I don't hold any brief for the bureaucrat, but at the same time, I must admit objectively that with a changed mentality and outlook, and I hope he changes his mentality and outlook, otherwise he will not like it. So with a changed mentality and outlook, with accountability, with being answerable both to the people and to the government, the bureaucrat, so I don't hold any brief for the bureaucrat, but at the same time, with his changed mentality, and with this changed outlook, being answerable both to the people and to the government. And I suppose we all have learned from this bitter experience of the recent past. And if we haven't, it will be a sad day for the country. So I hope like you and us, they also have learned a lesson that their power, if it's outside their sphere of genuine responsibility, is not ultimately even in their interest. Because the bureaucracy had limited its responsibilities within its charter, neither the institution of bureaucracy would have suffered, nor would the country have suffered. But they flung themselves outside the charter and got into politics, involved in politics. And then they got involved in many other vices. But now we're trying to control that aspect of the problem. But I can't answer here in a minute the problem that has gone on for years, not only here but throughout the world, about the role of the generalist and the role of the specialist. I'm quite prepared for a debate on this matter, but a constructive debate. I'm quite prepared to set up a committee to go into the question of VAPDA's problems. VAPDA has got many problems. You must remember that I was Minister for Natural Resources, and I was intimately connected with the problems of VAPDA, with the problems of natural resources, water, and these questions are not new to me. So the problem is that we can't do anything immediately. All problems cannot be resolved in a day. The future of VAPDA is not in my hands, because I tell you frankly that this problem of VAPDA is associated with a sensitive question of provincial autonomy. And I am not touching on such issues at all. I'm touching on issues of bread and butter, which are not questions of provincial autonomy. Welfare of the people, the masses, the agriculturalists, that does not is not repugnant to provincial autonomy. If a child is educated, if a person gets employment, if his wages are increased or stabilized, if prices are stabilized, these issues don't affect the sensitive problem of provincial autonomy. But VAPDA certainly affects the sensitive problem of provincial autonomy, and that problem will be determined by the National Assembly, whether VAPDA should remain or what should be done to VAPDA in the future. So VAPDA's fate is in the balance, and the Assembly will determine it. And those who think the Assembly is not going to come into being, you will already have seen signs that we are moving towards this direction of getting the Assembly into session. We would like to see the Assembly into session. We'd like to see the participation of the people, representative of the people. I'd be happier on that floor of the Assembly than anywhere else. So the question is, we have to settle some preliminaries, some basic prerequisites before that is done. And as I said yesterday, when I say the Assembly will meet this year, it does not mean that the Assembly will meet on the 31st of December. It does not mean that the Assembly will meet on the 1st of December. It does not mean the Assembly will meet on the 15th of November. Now, don't ask me anymore, because then you'll know the date and I can't give the date right now. But in any case, it will meet before the year is out, much before the year is out. So be patient and have confidence in this matter. And I want a settlement for all times. I don't want any more of these ad hoc arrangements. I want Pakistan to be firm and secure, and firm and secure foundations. So. So I'm aware of the importance of institutions. I'm aware of the importance of public participation. I said yesterday that I'll be the happiest man in Pakistan when democracy is restored. Why should I be the happiest man in Pakistan when democracy is restored? The answer is very simple. Because I have struggled more for democracy in Pakistan than any other individual has struggled. So have no fears on that score. And have no fears on other scores. Have no fear on any score. Because all we want to do is to do justice to everyone. And in this connection, well, as I say, the future of VAPDA itself is in the balance. So when it is finally decided, by that time, a healthy debate will be generated on this issue. Because after all, the other side is that the management is in the hands of either civil servant or a non-civil servant. But the execution is in the hands of engineers. And that's why I think the chairman, the finance member, are two who are non-engineers, but member of power, member of water, they're engineers. And in that event, this debate can be continued, because after all, the question of specialists and generalists affects not only your field, it affects other fields. And if we set a principle here, we might have to apply it in other fields. Now, we have seen how disastrous it was for a general to be in charge of the war in the last war. He was supreme commander, commander-in-chief, and he couldn't give even clear orders as to what should happen. Once, you know, long ago, everyone knows this, Clemenceau said, war is too serious a business for generals. So the question is, then you go from one field to another, you'll have to apply it everywhere. And we have seen in other countries also, where technocrats have been brought into cabinets and made ministers. In certain places, that experiment has failed. In others, it has succeeded. And So it's not a simple problem. We want a happy blending of the problem. We want a proper solution according to Pakistan's mentality, requirements, and environment. In that, I have an open mind, a completely open mind. Because as I said, I am not holding brief for one party or the other. But my plea to you is that for engineers at least, and other educated people, there is a method of ventilation of grievances. As it is, you have mentioned in your welcome address that the nation is facing the severest crisis. You all applauded and agreed, that means, that the nation is facing the severest crisis. Then in that event, if you as educated people, responsible people, creative people, can't wait for a day, and if you can't wait for a day, then shouldn't you also, as responsible people, not go into the practice of ghiraus and jalaus? Because I can understand to some extent labor because labor has been sat upon badly. So I wanted, as a matter of deliberate policy, I allowed labor to ventilate its grievances. But then also a time comes when you have to, in a sensible, humane manner, bring that under the control, because the state is a controlled organism. And for instance, 2 days ago, a person has been brutally killed. And now that responsibility is of the government, that we can't permit that. And killed after some kind of passionate and emotional speeches. So this is murder. And we can't allow this kind of thing. This is not according to our traditions. This is not according to our methods. So if someone for good reason is put into jail, 100 people make statements, appeals, this, that, for good reason. Here, I can't allow this to happen. The question is, I've deliberately for 6 to 7, 8 weeks allowed people to ventilate their grievances, to let off steam, because they all had a reason to let off steam, especially the working classes, especially the most exploited classes. So it's understandable. Their vision is also limited. They haven't had education. So I could understand them sort of flying off the tangent. But then, as I said, there comes a time when they themselves get fed up with it, because it's counterproductive. It's negative. They themselves get fed up with it. Society gets, people get disgusted with it. And that's why now the time has come when we cannot allow this kind of thing to continue. This doesn't mean that the regime will become tyrannical or that we will resort to whiplashing like the other previous regime. Nothing of the kind. But minimum effective control is necessary so that things like this don't happen. Now, if engineers also indulge in this kind of practice, then after all, then let's wind up the shop. Then after, as I repeatedly say, one individual can't make a country. One individual can destroy a country. But one individual can't make a country. Now, if we are going to all go to the streets, if we're all going to get indisciplined, if we're all going to have the method of the street to bring about our redress of our grievances, then let us have the tamasha. Let's all go to the ball. Because that's not a method. And especially for engineers and for people like you. And remember, I am not changing my views now that I am in the office of president. Never in my speeches, even when I was in opposition and when I was struggling, did I say gheraus and jalaus should be practiced. You open my speech, read any of my speeches. The question is this, that I didn't believe in this method in the past also. No sensible person can believe in this method. Even it was deprecated when in China they had the Cultural Revolution. When the British legation was burnt, it infuriated the Chinese leaders, Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai and others. They told me that themselves now. And they said that some people went out of hand and they couldn't allow people to go out of hand. So the question is that if in that great country with all its resources and its infrastructure, this cannot be permitted, how can Pakistan, with the foreign debt you're talking about, with the crisis of production, with a crisis in every sphere of life, allow this kind of activity? And the point is, I'm not threatening, I'm pleading. But I also know how to run an administration. I'm not new to this art. I understand it perfectly well. So don't think that we cannot control these matters. Or no matter how serious the threat or the crisis is. As it is, you've told me, I'm thankful to you, that there are 2,000 unemployed engineers. I'll employ them and throw out 2,000 if you resort to the streets like that. So the question is, this method won't do. Justice and fairness, of course. Respect for you, of course. But you also must. The other day, some people came to Pindi, there's a crisis in Vapna. I must immediately hear the engineers. No, that was not the method. There are ministers, there are others, and if they want to see me, don't threaten me that there's a crisis in Vapna. Say, we want to discuss Vapna's problems. We'll discuss Vapta's problem. But these problems are not discussed merely because you threaten me with the word crisis. I'm a man of crisis. So crisis is a normality to me. So don't unnecessarily say these things that because of this threat, that put our back to the wall. Our back is not to the wall, because the people are with us. And you will see that on the strength and the power of the people, we'll resolve many of these problems, most of these problems. Give us some time. Give us a very limited period of time, and then after that, you will see that all we can do is to set things in the right direction. Arrest the direction of the present, which is a wrong one, and set it in the right direction. Take the first real big step. And others will come through a process of evolution, revolution, explosion, whatever the future has in store for the subcontinent and for Asia. So now, with these words, I hope that you'll go back a little more satisfied, and I'll go back much happier that we are going to understand one another, we are going to cooperate with each other, and I don't want to go into the some of the issues you have raised here. Your problems are known to me, you people are known to me as persons, as individuals, but I tell you again, I have the greatest respect for you. I know that you have to build this country, you have to do the creative work. The second five-year plan, 61% of the work was supposed to be done by the engineers. In the third five-year plan, 63% of the work. And as progressively the plans keep on increasing, you will have to play a greater and greater role. I'm ashamed of the fact that 2,000 engineers are without jobs. I'm going to have a massive public works program soon in the country, and we'll, inshallah ta'ala, bring engineers into full play and into full operation for this works program. And you'll have a full sense of participation. Full justice will be done to you. But let's resolve these matters in sobriety. Because I expect sobriety and sense from people like you, an elite. And so I'm quite prepared to continue this discussion, to continue the dialogue, and see that we find the right solution. Of course, we can find it. We cannot defy a solution, a problem like this. But till then, have a little patience. And if there are some interim changes, don't think that that's by way of acceptance or commitment to a principle. That might be only because there's need for some interim changes. Not that we are accepting a certain principle or continuing a certain principle. So I think with these few words, I'd like to take your leave. If you have not liked certain things, I'm sorry for them, but I think it's better that we speak frankly, as you said yourself. And I wish you all success. I wish you happiness. I want you to feel satisfied and content, because if you're satisfied and content, then we can build a real Pakistan, an aesthetic Pakistan. You have not only to be creative, but you have to make an aesthetic Pakistan without waste. Not the kind of bridges we are building with the railings. Ugly railings, ugly bridges. Please build beautiful things. Build beautifully. Why must we have these ugly structures? However, Khuda Hafiz, I'm very grateful.
The President, Mr. Zulfiqar Ali Bhutto, in Lahore this morning, addressed engineers. You've been listening to a radio report of the event. The recording was made on telephone lines direct from Lahore, and with that, Radio Pakistan closes this national hookup.